News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Now, 9 minutes past eight on News Talk Breakfast. Plans have been unveiled by the Taoiseach and the Housing Minister to create a new land development agency, which the Taoiseach said will be on a similar footing to the ESB and the IDA. To discuss this, we're joined by Conor Skeehan, former chair of the Housing Agency and, of course, a lecturer in planning in DIT. Conor, is the Land Development Agency, is it a good idea in your view?
The devil will be in the detail. We have form in this country of development agencies that have worked well, and we have ones that have worked spectacularly badly. Taoiseach had the wisdom and the humility when he was talking about this idea when it was in an embryonic form to remind us that the spectacular failure of the Dublin Docklands Authority was an example of an agency losing the run of itself, and spectacularly so. We have had examples in Ireland of things not working well and working well. So when they work badly, we find them having the characteristics of being agencies that get themselves involved in building, actual building, being prescriptive, telling us where we should build, selling stuff and buying stuff, having permanent agencies set up. They're led by policies, plans, abstractions. They're highly technical. They're the bad ones. And we've had all of those. The good ones,
yeah,
we've had really good ones.
Give us some examples.
Well, we had things like what NAMA did in their final chapters. They were really good. The Rail Procurement Agency.
Sorry, go back to NAMA, because NAMA gets hammered all the time. A really easy target,
exactly,
I think sometimes.
I agree. And I was very vociferous originally, and I'm more than happy to say when I was wrong, that NAMA wouldn't work out, and they had the wit to stay hands off. They had the wit to be people who were involved in procurement, in facilitating, in coordinating, having a temporary brief, being market-led, being economic and not technical. So they're all the characteristics of a good intervention. The problem with interventions, by and large, is when governments intervene, they should really only do so in two circumstances. The first is where there's a natural monopoly, something like a road system, something like a railway system, something like an electricity system. That's a proper place for a government to intervene. And the second is where there has been a market failure. Now, a market failure is something that is easily misunderstood, and people are saying that there's a so-called housing crisis or whatever it is. Surely there's a market failure. Market failure is where people are not providing the goods that are required. The goods are being required, and we're already starting to see reports of people building houses that they can't sell because they're unaffordable, because they pitched them or financed them incorrectly. And so there's no evidence of a market failure. So my two main tests for government intervention have not been met here, of either market failure or the existence of a natural monopoly.
It's interesting that you're sceptical on it, because every second guest, or probably even more than that, who comes into this studio says the same thing. We need to build more houses. The state needs to build more houses. Is that too simplistic in your view?
It is, Shane. Like the proportion of housing supply that's required is mostly made up of second-hand houses. New houses are a tiny part of the overall mix. And I've talked about that before in this room, about the fact that it's freeing up houses to come back into the market that's really going to solve these problems. And that's to be dealt with by the one thing we're not talking about, which is the huge number of arrears that are out there. We've at least 14,000 houses in severe arrears, and those houses need that issue has to be dealt with. Remember, 14,000 houses in arrears is 38,000 human beings in deep trouble. And then as well as that, we've 120,000 restructured mortgages, many of which are already in trouble. So the real place I'd spend my money, Taoiseach, if you were going to give me 1.2 billion, I'd go off and I'd buy a couple of thousand houses and put them back into the market. Or more importantly, I'd deal with dealing with arrears. That's the real big elephant in the room that no one wants to talk about.
Go back to the problem with central planning by a government, because people say, well, we kind of know what the problem is. Yeah, we need these houses. We kind of know where to build them. Why not get the government to do that?
Well, there's two answers to that. The first is that government. Ireland, that is not usually talked about much, has by far the most centralised system of government in Europe. And that includes the former Eastern European economies. So it's very centrist, it's very slow, it's rigid, it's expensive, it's unresponsive, and it tends to be abstract in its ideals. My real deep fear is that this land development agency would start to become something that tries to enact, or worse yet, enforce what I regard as the misguided provisions of the National Planning Framework, of trying to get people to live where the various different officials think that people should live and not where they want to live. That would be my real worry.
Okay, go back to the solutions, excuse me. If this 1.2 billion, tell us again what you think the government should be doing with that.
I would do one of two fundamentally different things, one of which is I would make it a procurement agency. So the rail procurement agency, the National Roads Authority, procured, brought things into existence that were built and operated by other people. That's when Ireland's at its best. We've done that very, very well. When we get into the building business of things like the National Building Agency or Dublin Docklands, that's where we start to fail. Development is an incredibly difficult business. One of the reasons that developers get paid such a large amount of profit is because they take such extraordinary risks, and everybody only sees them when they succeed. They don't see the nine other times they failed, and that's what they're paid their compensation for.
Does that suggest that there are big risks for the government from this new agency, that it could end up losing its shirt?
Oh, well, losing its shirt would be the least of the worries. The bigger worry I'd have is that what it would do is it would distort local markets. That's the real worry I would have. Remember, the well-intentioned interventions in markets is what gave us the types of incentive schemes that destroyed the counties of the Upper Shannon Basin. When the government intervenes in something like a housing market, it can do incredible harm. And remember, in each of those places in the North Shannon Basin, for instance, where you had an ill-advised development of housing, it wasn't just the people who developed what became a ghost estate who suffered. It was every other homeowner in that village who had put their entire life saving into a house which is now rendered worthless because of an additional unneeded, unwanted 120 units on the outskirts of the village. Everybody suffers.
Okay.
Everybody suffers.
The advice for the government today is make haste slowly in relation to this.
Ask yourself, why are you doing it? Look at its characteristics. I gave you a list of my good ones and my bad ones. If it's permanent and if it's prescriptive, it's bad. If it's temporary and if it's about procurement, it's good.
Okay, Conor Skeane, as always, a pleasure talking to you. Conor Skeane, former chair of the Housing Agency, a DIT lecturer in planning there. Apologies for my little coughing splutter in the middle of that. Conor, thanks indeed for joining us.